Bibles or look on the screens. We're going to look at verses 1 to 8 tonight in 1 Kings. And let me catch you up if you haven't been here. We saw that Elijah is this prophet of God who God called him and asked him to go out and to do this thing, represent him. Stand up and be one of the few people left in Israel that still proclaim the name of God as his Savior. And so Elijah goes out as this prophet of God, and he literally feels like he's like the last person who stands up for the name of God. All these other people are worshiping idols and this other god named Baal. And so he's kind of alone. I don't know if you've ever felt alone in that. You've ever felt alone in what you believe, but that's where Elijah was. And so as Elijah is battling this, God calls him to go out and to make this altar and call all the prophets of Baal to come and have this little kind of competition to say, hey, there's 850 other prophets. They're all going to come and build this altar and try to get their god to call down fire and light up their altar. And so they spend all day and they're dancing and they're doing all these crazy things, even cutting themselves and doing these horrible things, trying to get the attention of their false god. And you know what happens? Nothing. Because he wasn't there. He wasn't real. And so Elijah comes out and he's like, you guys are calling to someone that doesn't exist. I know the one true God who's real and he's alive and he'll answer me. And so he calls out to these guys and says, dump water all over this thing. And they do that to the point where there's like a trench of water all over this altar. And it's hard to light wet wood, right? And so he's like, drench it and you'll see that my God will still come through. And he calls out to God and you know what happens? This crazy fire comes down and doesn't just light that wood, that wet wood. It consumes it, consumes the stones, consumes all of the water, gone. I mean, incredible heat comes down from the one true God who says, I'm real. I can send fire. I can stop rain and close the skies up. I can do anything. And so all of these prophets standing around were just looking, going, what can we say? Your God showed up. Ours isn't here. And so Elijah is thinking, man, this is awesome. All these people around here started to believe in the true God because they saw his miracle. They saw he had power and he was alive. And so they all turned to God. But here's where it gets tricky. Remember Jezebel, the queen who worshiped Baal and was the one that was like, everyone has to worship Baal. Her heart didn't change. Her heart was still like, no, I can't believe you people would turn your back on Baal. To the point where she said, I want you to go kill Elijah for what he did. I want to prove him wrong. Prove that his God isn't as strong as he thinks he is, because I'll take Elijah's life. And so Elijah's sitting there thinking, but wait, this awesome miracle God did, how could it not change the heart of this queen? Didn't she see what happened? Didn't she see the power of God? And yet she's looking at it and still not believing. And so Elijah walks off discouraged. This is where the discouragement comes in, because she's still coming after his life trying to kill him. And he's like, but God, I did everything you told me to do. And so he goes away, and that's where our story picks up. So read with me. We're in chapter 19 of 1 Kings. It says, and Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, also how he had executed all the prophets with a sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah saying, so let the gods do to me and more also, if I don't make your life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. She says she's going to kill him, all right? And when he saw that, he arose and ran for his life. Elijah's like, I'm out of here. He takes off and went to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servant there. Man, I don't know if you'd feel discouraged over that, but I think I would. I mean, you just stood there in front of all of these people, and you've said that you believe something so strongly that you're not moving, and then all of a sudden this woman's heart still doesn't change. I think that would be discouraging for me. I'd feel bad for her. Like, how can you not believe? You just saw with your own eyes the power of God. How can you still not believe? Maybe there's some of you here tonight who are in that boat. Over and over, you come to a place like this. And you see the power of God change people's hearts. You see their lives. You see them come to the waters of baptism and be baptized. You see the change in the way they used to live and how they are now. You see God work miracles, and yet even seeing it, somehow we can still sit there and not believe. I wonder if you're in that boat tonight. Or maybe you know someone and your heart is broken because over and over you tell them how great Jesus is, how much Jesus loves them, that he died for their sin, that he died to save them, and yet they still don't believe. And I bet you feel heartbroken over that. I bet you might even feel a little discouraged over that. And tonight we can find hope in the story of Elijah because our God is so awesome. And we're going to see that in just a second. And so Elijah takes off, right? He's like, I'm out of here. She's trying to kill me. He goes off and he's so discouraged, it says. And when he saw that, he arose, ran for his life. Like, it's not just discouragement. There's fear too. This guy's like, I'm afraid she's going to kill me. She wanted him dead. She wanted his God discredited. I bet as he sat there, he felt like he failed. Like, what did I do wrong? You know, it's funny because it's the very thing that was his strongest point. He was known as the man of courage. Like, he's the most courageous man of the Bible. He stood up against 850 prophets of Baal and just said, I'm the only one, but it's okay. I'll stand alone if I have to. That's courage, right? But it was his very strength that we see that was also his weakness. Because here he is now running from this angry queen, like taking off, fleeing because one woman is mad at him and he runs off, scared for his life. This man of courage isn't showing courage. You know, there's a good lesson there for us. What is your strength? What is the thing that God has gifted you in, skilled you in? Part of your personality that you would consider that strong part of who you are. Be careful because often our strength is also our greatest weakness. We can get caught up in pride over that part of us that we say, man, I'm strong in that area, you know? And then Satan uses it to distract us, to use it against us, and our own pride is where we fall with our strength. And that's where Elijah found himself. And so in this depression, listen to what he says. He says, but he himself went a day's journey, goes off for a whole day, into the wilderness, came and sat down under a broom tree. And he prayed that he might die and said, it's enough. Now, Lord, take my life, for I am no better than my father's. This dude is so discouraged that he goes off into the wilderness alone. When you felt down or discouraged, have you ever like gone and just tried to be alone? Like you seek isolation and you want to just seclude yourself and you just can't face people. Maybe you go and you hide in your room or somewhere where there's just nobody that's going to bother you or ask you questions. You just can't handle the questions and the people. If you've ever faced discouragement, you probably know what I'm talking about right now. And that's where Elijah was. I have to get away. I have to just be alone. He secluded himself because of his depression. And it says, he prayed that he might die. And this guy is so depressed that he looks up to God and he goes, Lord, take my life. Like, this is enough. I'm done. I can't do anymore. I don't even want to live. Just take my life. Just bring me out of this life, God. His depression hit so hard that it made him suicidal. He's sitting alone in this wilderness, under the shade of this tree, which was the only grace that he was feeling and acknowledging, like God had provided him this tree to rest under. And he wasn't even seeing that. He was just sitting there seeing his own hurt. You see, sometimes when we're in a situation that hurts so bad, it's hard to see anything else. We just see the hurt. We can't see past our own brokenness, and we feel like we're stuck in this bubble of our own pain, and we can't see outside of it, and so we lose hope because we can't see the light at the end. We can't see the hope that's waiting right on the other side because all we can see is the hurt and the pain and the discouragement that we're feeling at the time, and that's where Elijah was, just trapped in his own bubble, looking at his own pain and hurt to the point where he's like, God, I can't live anymore. Yo, we live in a day and age where we've got to talk about this. We might not hear this that often, and up to this point, we probably, in our culture, in our schools, in our churches, haven't talked about it a whole lot, but suicide is a big, big problem today. We need to talk about this. Depression, discouragement, suicide. A lot of times we think, man, that only happens to a certain type of person, as if that exists. People at church don't do that, and those are lies. A lot of times we're embarrassed to say that we're struggling with discouragement or depression. We don't want people to know because they might think differently of ourselves. And so we hide it and let it get worse and worse, and we never get help. Never be ashamed to ask for help. This is a safe space. You know, the Firehouse exists so that you can come and ask for help. If anyone tonight is struggling with depression or thoughts of suicide or just discouragement and you just need encouragement, this is a safe space. I want you to know that you never have to be embarrassed or think people will think poorly of you or differently of you, but you can reach out to me or our leaders. That's why we're here. The only embarrassing or shameful thing in that would be to not ask, to need help and not ask. Please reach out. Please know that we love you and that we're here for you. Even better, Elijah teaches us that God loves you, that God cares about your hurt and your pain and your discouragement. God sees it and he cares about it. So here's Elijah looking at God and just saying, like, I just can't live anymore. And then look at what he does with this. He turns it on himself. He says, I'm no better than my fathers. Like, hey, all of this must be my fault. I must have done something wrong. I must be broken. I deserve the penalty for this. And that's, none of that's true. Those are lies because he feels rejected. This is God's plan. This is God's work. This is God's ministry. But when we fall into times like that, where we're so just focused on our own hurt, we tend to internalize it, to make it about us and be like, I'm taking the blame. I must be imperfect. I'm not good enough. I don't measure up. Those are lies. God loves you. He loves you so much, he sent his only son, Jesus, to die for you. You are precious. You are valuable. And God cares. But here's Elijah, and he's forgetting those really important things. Because of his pain, he's saying, no, this must be my fault. I'm no good. I wasn't able to change her heart. But the deal is, only God can change a heart. We can't. If you came here tonight and you're looking for hope, I'd love to offer you whatever truth I can find in Scripture to put hope in your heart, but I can't do it. I can't take hope and put it in you. Only God can do that. Your eyes turning to the Lord and saying, God, I need hope. The Lord is capable of putting hope in your heart. I'd love to help in that. But I have to direct you to Jesus, who's the only one who can give hope. Man, Elijah, I know his story personally. I know what he feels like. I've been there. I've been under that tree, kind of in a way, in my life. I've sat there and I've felt that discouragement at times. And I've said some of these words to the Lord. And I'll tell you, it's only God who can pull you back from it. If you're looking somewhere else to try to find hope, to try to fill the void in your heart, you'll never find it. It doesn't exist. It's as silent as those prophets trying to get this false god to light their altar. He'll never do it because he's not there. The only one who can hand you hope, who can heal your heart, is the Lord Jesus, who is the one true God, who's listening and cares and can interact in your life. He's the only one with enough power to take your broken heart and put the pieces back together. So if you're looking to another person, they're not enough. If you're looking to friends or some sort of accomplishment or a sport that makes you feel accomplished and forget your pain, none of it will ever fix it. Drugs and alcohol will never fix it. Only Jesus can do that. Turn to the Lord. And so here we see the example of Elijah sitting there, still under this tree, still hurting, still broken. And God does some really cool stuff for me. Ready for this? It says, then as he lay and slept under a broom tree, suddenly an angel touched him and said to him, arise and eat. Then he looked, and there by his head was a cake baked on coals and a jar of water. So he ate and drank and lay down again. And the angel of the Lord came back the second time and touched him and said, arise and eat, but the journey is too great for you. So he arose and ate and drank and went into the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights as far as Horeb, the mountain of God. So here's what happens. Elijah falls asleep under this tree because he's exhausted. And then this angel comes and that the Lord sends and wakes him up and says, there's some food. And the Lord had provided food for him. It's like, sleep, get some rest, and eat this food. I think there's a really cool lesson for us there. You know, a lot of times as we are facing discouragement, it's because we're just not physically healthy. We're not eating. We're not getting the right amount of rest. And your body needs to be taken care of. There's a very practical lesson here. Sometimes we're like, oh, that's not a big enough thing to like bring up in church, right? That seems so physical, so just like temporary. But actually, it's what we're being taught, that God cares. Not just about your heart, not just about your mind, and not just about your body, but he cares about all of you. And so some of us, like you, we run ourselves ragged. We don't eat right. We don't rest right. We're up all night long playing video games or studying or doing sports and doing all these things. And then all of a sudden we find ourselves depressed. There's a reason why stats say that there is a record high number of people your age fighting depression. And part of it is your lifestyle, the culture that we live in. And here, God even tells Elijah, eat and sleep, man. Like part of your depression is because you're exhausted. You need the fuel to go on. I once took a class on helping counsel people through depression. And one of the first things they say to do when you come up to someone with depression is put like a big old steak in front of them. Literally, that's what it says, like in the first chapter of the book. Because food helps you. It helps you to have the right proteins and energies to actually like move forward. There's a very practical lesson here for us. But it doesn't just stop with eating right and getting rest, even though that's important. God cares about the whole thing. You see, if that was his only problem, nobody would ever fight depression, right? But it's definitely part of the problem. And so he puts Elijah to that, and he's like, you need to have this strength. But there's an awesome mercy in God because he sees this heart problem and this mind problem that Elijah's also facing. I just sitting there just focused on his own hurt. And God wants to take his mind and focus it out past that bubble of hurt and say, look at what I've done for you. Look at all of this. My son Jesus has died for you. I have hope that I can hand over to you. But you got to look past your own mess. You got to look right here at me and see the things that you can be thankful for, the things that I do for you every day. Elijah, you're sitting under this beautiful tree giving you shade and you're safe right now. Nobody's coming to kill you from the queen. Like, look at all these things that I've done for you. And he starts to minister to his mind that's just raging and the thoughts are going and he's focused on the wrong place. So not just his body, but his mind. Maybe that's your struggle. Maybe some of us in the room who are dealing with depression is because we're constantly looking here. And the Lord wants to turn our eyes out to him to say, thank you, God. Instead of, man, I don't have a lot of money. My family, you know, we're poor and we don't have this and we don't have that. And I don't have a lot of friends and I don't like the way I look. And I. And we list our problems. And let's be honest, we all have a lot of problems. That's what being human is. We could keep listing. And the longer we focus on that, the more discouraging it is. The negative thoughts start to just take over your mind. But you know the Bible says to focus on what is good? And so as we focus on the things that God has done, it breaks you out of that bubble. You can start to see, you know what? I got it hard, but there are a few good things I can look and say, God, you've done this for me. God, you have shown me grace. Everything isn't bad. Lord, you are here, and there are things that I can focus on that are good. And so he starts to turn Elijah's mind, but he doesn't just stop there with his body and his mind. He also ministers to his heart. Because where your heart is, right, that's the course of your life. That's what steers your thoughts. That's what steers your decisions. And he turns to his heart and his soul and he says, Elijah, like, your biggest problem is that you're wearing this burden of fear. But who do you serve? The most powerful being in all existence? Do you think I'm going to let you down? Do you think I'm not going to save you and be here for you? Did you see, Elijah, what I just did at that altar? Did you see the miracle? Did you see my power and strength? I'm here for you. It's funny because Elijah was mad that Jezebel saw that and that she didn't trust God. But here's Elijah who had just been a part of that and he's not trusting God. He's doing the same thing. He's running in fear because he's not trusting that God is big enough and strong enough and cares enough about him to protect him. Man, if we run in fear, then that's all we see. And we can be blinded by that and we sit in our depression and our hurt. And so the Lord wants to free us from that fear and from that doubt to say, my God is strong. My God is strong enough to face all of these problems I'm listing right now. The bullying that's happening every day when you go to school, God's big enough to take care of that test that is going to destroy you. And you're like, how are my grades going to be? How am I going to get through this? You know what? God is big enough and strong enough. Or going home and my parents are fighting and maybe going to get a divorce, or maybe they just did, or my family's falling apart and I don't even want to go home. And like, how will I? And God says, I'm big enough to carry you through that. I don't know what your story is. We have lots of stories in this room tonight, and we have lots of hurts. But I can tell you this for sure, no matter what hurt it is and who you are tonight, God is big enough. He's strong enough. Don't be like Elijah. Don't go sit under that tree and go, I'm so scared, how will I get through this? You look up to your God and say, you're big and strong and powerful and you love me. That's how I'll get through this, Lord. So God, not only his body and his mind, but also ministers to Elijah's heart. He wants to correct this attitude of fear that he has. What's your juniper tree tonight? What tree are you sitting under tonight? What is that thing that's aching at your heart? Maybe that thing that keeps pulling you down into depression or discouragement takes your eyes off of the Lord. What is it for you? Where are you sitting? I want to encourage you tonight. Turn your eyes up. Look up to a big God who loves you. Let him minister to your heart the way he's done to Elijah in this passage. Because listen, this isn't a one-time deal. Life is going to bring these ups and downs as you go on this journey where you will face depression at various points of your life. That's just part of the human story. You will face difficult times. You will face dry seasons. And the way you get through that is by knowing this, that God is always there for you. Trust him. Let him bring you through it. Give him the fear and the doubt you have in your heart and say, God, go. Like, cheer him on. Ask him to do it and then cheer him on as he's working in your heart and your life, knowing that he will come through for you because he says he will. At the end of this passage, it says this. After he lays down again, the angel says, arise and eat because the journey is too great for you. Do you know what's happening there? God's sending him on another mission. It's like, well, like, Lord, this thing just happened over here with the altars, and then the queen runs me out of town in fear of my life, and now here I am just sleeping and eating, just sitting in my depression. And you know what? God gives him that time to rest between these big moments, these heavy moments in his life. God is so good that he allows Elijah this moment, this season, to sit and just let God minister to his heart. You know, for some of you, Wednesday nights might be your moment. or maybe it's Sunday mornings, where you can go and step out of all of that that's outside, all of that pain and all the other things, and you come into this space and it's your moment. It's the moment where you can rest, where you can sing and worship and just tell God he's great, where you can have your eyes turned up from your hurt and pointed up at Jesus. God is so gracious to give us these moments. And your moment might be different. Maybe it's not a Wednesday night, but notice that God cares enough that he provides those for you. So take advantage of the moments that he sets aside. But then he doesn't leave you sitting there. He says, Elijah, get up. Don't sit in your pain. Don't sit in this brokenness. Stand up and let's go. Let's move forward. We all need that moment where God's like, hey, take your eyes off yourself and let's keep going. That person that comes along and wraps their arm around you, that brother or sister in Jesus who says, I'm here for you. Come on, let's walk. Let's go forward. Don't sit in that moment. And so he sends Elijah off to this huge journey. It takes 40 days for him to get where God has sent him. And it's not even a 40-day journey. It should have only taken about a quarter of that time. But it still took him 40 days. And so we're looking at this going, wow, God has done a big thing even in the journey. That 40-day journey is this picture of the Jews in the wilderness for 40 years in suffering. 40 years, God's refining them and growing them. Here's the 40 days Elijah is just talking to God. I imagine him walking down those dirt trails through the desert, and he's having these conversations with God, and God's speaking to his heart and teaching him, and he's bringing all these things up. He's like, God, but do you know this? And God's like, of course I know that, Elijah. But God, did you see what happened in my heart here? And God's like, of course I know your heart intimately. And he gives him a good 40 days of just walking down the road to interact with him, to hear his heart, to hear his words, to know his story, and to say, Elijah, I'm here. I haven't left you. God has not left you. I don't know where you feel like you are tonight. I don't know if your heart's hurting, or if you feel discouraged or broken. But God hasn't left. He's walking the trail with you. And he's calling you on to his mission to say, get up, I'm here. Step into the plan I have for you, because I have big plans. I don't want to leave you under the tree wasting away. I want you to get up and follow me. I know that a lot of us might be in this right now. There are a lot of people in this room with discouragement, with something aching in your heart. And I know that there are some people who have legitimate medical, biological things going on where you need help, like physically and mentally, to deal with some of these things. It's bigger than just, hey, here's a pat on the back, get over it. Like, that's not what we're saying tonight. So don't hear me. Please don't hear me say that. Some of you might need to reach out for help and just say, like, I might need to talk to a counselor, a good professional Christian counselor, to deal with some of the things that I've seen and heard and hurts that I've had to experience. And we would love to help connect you with someone who can talk to you in that way, or a professional psychologist, or someone who can reach out and help guide you through this. And some of you are just in a place where you just need someone to come along and just encourage you. Wherever you are on that journey, please know you're not alone. We love you, and we want to help you walk through that. And way more importantly, God makes it very clear that he wants to be a part of that, and that he loves you, and that you're his. Will you close your eyes and bow your heads with me for just a moment? I know that what we're talking about isn't light. It's a heavy topic. And it's not every night that we get this heavy, but I would like to ask you tonight to just take the next couple seconds as we sing this song of worship and just ask God. Whether you know him personally or not, he's listening. Would you just ask God and say, Lord, show me the parts of my heart that are broken. Make them clear to me. Show me the parts that I need tonight to hand up to you and say, Lord, I've decided to trust you. Just take a second to ask God that question.